In a world of globalization, economic uncertainty, terrorism, culture clash, family disintegration, corporate distrust, youth disillusionment, political confusion, and religious corruption, the wisdom to navigate successfully through life is necessary. Welcome to Living Effectively. Living Effectively, a program designed to provide wisdom, insight, information, and inspiration to effectively face the challenges of the 21st century world.
One of the most common of all human experiences is loss. Maybe you or someone you know has experienced financial, personal, or even loss of health. But have you experienced the greatest loss of all? Have you lost faith in faith? In his brand new release, Rediscovering Faith, Dr. Miles Monroe explores the challenge of the need not just for faith, but the right kind of faith. Rediscovering Faith will help you to develop the quality faith that will hold firm and withstand a litany of disappointments. Through this book, you will learn how to ignite a passionate, deeply rooted kind of belief that will propel you through life and position you with a faith that threatens tragedy and becomes a crisis to a crisis. Now available with companion DVD, in which Dr. Miles Monroe personally leads you through key principles of rediscovering faith. Restore the power of kingdom faith. Order your copy of Rediscovering Faith with companion DVD today.
So we disobey the law, and then our body is in disorder. The Bible says, husband, love your wives. That's a law. It's a law. Love your wife. It never tells the wife to love the husband. Husband, love your wife. Now, love is a verb. It's an action word, which means you can't say, you know I love you. No. You got to do something to show that. Boy, are you glad you're here? In other words, you can't tell a woman, you can assume I love you, baby. Love is a verb. You know, I kissed my wife this morning. Sometimes I kiss my wife. I miss her, you know. 14 days, boy. Now, I could have said to her, I'm kissing you in my mind. I kiss you this morning already in my mind, girl. I don't need to kiss you physically. You know I love you in my thoughts. You are always on my mind. She said, no, I want you in my life, not my mind. It's a law. So you wonder, then your marriage begins to get cold and there's tension and there's frustration. Why? You're disobeying a law. Marriage is hard work. Don't rush into it, buddy. Don't rush. You think you're working hard. Get married. I'm right, Brother Pat. It's hard work. And guess what? It's a 24-hour-a-day job. Bradley, slow down, chief. It's hard work because people think, you know, well, you know, hallelujah, I just can't enjoy my spouse 3 or 4 hours a day. Oh, really? All day. And guess what? You can't get away. They go home with you. Or they wait for you at home. It's the law. And so when you start having disorder in your marriage, just check whether you are keeping these laws. That's not a ritual. Oh, no. You know, your spouse knows when kissing is a ritual. Mwah. They want a ritual. Mwah. Mwah. No ritual. They want a real thing. Both start with R. Ritual or real. You know the difference between ritual and real? Yeah. All right. Okay. So to me, priority is law. Let me make a note here. Write this down. The purpose and passion of God for all of us and his creation is to bring his country on earth. Heaven. Heaven is a country. And a kingdom is a country, not a religion. I think what we've done is because we've reduced God's program to religion, which produces rituals, we hate law. What I am doing in this series is taking law out of religion, which is rituals, and putting it back in kingdom, which is a country. You cannot live in the Bahamas without keeping the laws. Or Jamaica, or Barbados, or St. Lucia, or America, or Canada, or Germany, or Haiti. You can't live in a country without keeping the law. That's the nature of nations. And therefore, if the kingdom of God is a nation, then nations are built on law, which means that to live in the kingdom of God, we must also submit to laws. We don't use grace to stop keeping laws. One of the greatest things I discovered is that life is simple. The law is the key to successful living. If you know the law in a country and you keep it, you'll never go to jail. If you stop at the red light, you ain't never got to look in your rearview mirror for a cop. In other words, you keep the law, there's peace in your mind, no guilt in your heart. Law gives you peace. If you know you ain't committing adultery, you could sleep sound with your wife or your husband. If you know you ain't having no fornication, you could sleep well with a pillow. But you see, the problem is, if you're violating the law, the bed is rock. You all know what I'm talking about, some of you. Man, you toss and turn, the Holy Ghost working on you. Why? Because you violated law. Law brings peace. You know, when I give my tithes, I have peace. I'm serious. When I give my offerings, I would tell my wife, honey, we are giving against the future. Tithing is for the present. Giving is for the future. You shouldn't just tithe. Tithing maintains the house. But giving is investment for the future. It's a law. That's why the Bible says bring your tithes and your offering. Both are different. You never multiply tithing. God doesn't multiply tithing, give it back to you. Because it's a tax. You don't multiply taxes. You multiply investments. That's the law. It might be a good idea, you know, while I'm teaching right now, if the Lord speaks to you, to come and put an offering right here on this thing. I'm serious. Maybe the Lord said, boy, you know, that's right. You know, try an investment this morning. Because by October, you may need that to come back. The Bible says, cast your bread on the water today, and it shall return to you not many days afterwards. In other words, if you ain't cast, don't go down to the beach. You know, so what you do on the beach? Are you waiting for my ship to come in? But you ain't saying nothing out. Cast your bread upon the waters, he says, and it shall return to you many days afterwards. So don't go down to the beach if you didn't put bread in the water. The law. Law is the key to life. Now, let me give you the most important points I want to make today. There are two kinds of major laws. Three, but I will deal with two now for clarity. First of all, there's ritual laws. Write this down. Ritual laws. What are ritual laws? Ritual laws are secondary, temporary rituals, customs, and systems, and programs required for corrective and redemptive purposes. Long sentence. But necessary. Each word important. What is ritual law? Say it with me. What is ritual law? Secondary law, temporary law, ritual law, custom law, systems and programs required for what? Corrective and redemptive purposes. That means ritual laws are necessary because something went wrong. They are not permanent. Let me give you an example. You go to the hospital. And your lungs stop working. Now, do you know that your lungs work by a law that is automatic? You never try to breathe, do you? Think about it. You've been breathing for the last, you know, couple hours, and it was never a part of your consciousness. Because in your body, there's built in a natural system where your lungs rise and fall. Take in and release. Inspire, expire. It's a law. God built the law into your body. Now, you go to hospital and your lungs stops working. We call it collapsed. What do? They hook you up to a machine. Am I right? And they call it a mechanical lung. And it goes. It does what your lungs stop doing. It is a ritual. What is it? It's secondary. It's not your real lung. It's temporary. You ain't going to stay there all along. And it's only a ritual. They hook you up. They got to actually do it. And it's custom for them to do it if you lose your capacity to breathe. It's also a system. It's also a program. They program it to keep it going until you get your lungs back. Now, when you get your lung capacity back, what happens? It's corrected. Once you correct it, then you are redeemed from the electronic lung. So you are what? Free. But you ain't free from breathing. You're free to keep breathing. But this time, you kick back into the law that God put in your body. Glory, hallelujah. In other words, rituals are always temporary. What the church should not be dealing with and shouldn't be under is ritual law. That's what the Bible says we should stop doing. We don't need the artificial lung anymore. Jesus Christ hooked us back up, but we still got to breathe. You ain't free from breathing. You're free from depending on rituals to breathe. So that's the first kind of law I want you to understand. The second kind of law is called creation law principles. I wrote this down this way so you can get it clear. This is the most important law in life. Creation law principles. In other words, laws that are built in. Let me read it with you. What is creation law principle? What is it? It's original, inherent, natural principles and standards inherent in creation, necessary and required for effective function. That's creation law, built in by the Creator. These are the laws that you and I are supposed to obey in the kingdom of God. Having a high priest to take a lamb in the Holy of Holies was a ritual. It was not at creation. Burning incense was a ritual. It represented the presence of God. You don't need incense if God's present. Oh. I'm going to get in trouble right now, but I'm going to take a chance. You don't need oil anymore, even though we use it. Because the oil, it was a ritual representing the Holy Spirit that was gone from man. That's why the priests used oil. But when the Spirit came back, you don't need oil. But you see, we are so confused. We take the oil, and when you use, oh, I'm getting in trouble. I can feel it. You religious people still here. When you put the oil on the person, you're telling the Holy Ghost, I ain't quite sure use enough. Wearing robes, for example. God was specific. He told the priest to wear linen. Don't let it touch your skin. He says, wear clothes that breathe. He says, don't allow it to be tight. Let it be loose. Why? Because it represents righteousness and holiness. It's beautiful. He said, put all kind of beautiful things on it. Why? Now, we don't need that no more. He says, I've clothed you in righteousness through Jesus Christ. Oh, now watch this. I'm in trouble. So when you see a person in a robe, they are telling God, your work wasn't enough yet. It's a different kind of law. He said he set you free from the law. That's the one he set you free from. No more lambs and turtle doves and taking incense and wearing all these funny clothes. He said, look, you don't need that no more. That's why when Christ came, he never wore a uniform. There's no command in Jesus' name to wear a robe. Doesn't exist in the New Testament. He never told us to build a building. He told Moses to build a building. Why? Because the house he used to live in is messed up. Your body dumped him in the garden. Chapter 3. We got rid of the resident. So God said, look, since your house is all messed up, I'm going to build a house that I live in temporarily. I'll call it the tabernacle. Now, in 2,000 years, I'm going to work on it. And in 4,000 years, I'll get my house back. I'll cleanse it with my blood. And then Christ came and said, now receive the Holy Ghost. He's back in the house. You don't need to build no church with no funny stuff on it anymore. He's back home in the original house. But I can't teach this stuff. When we first built this building, do you know what the pastors told me? That's not a church. They said, how dare you call it the Diplomat Center? That's not a holy name, they said. Oh, I got letters, man. They said, there's no steeple on that building. There's no cross in the building. What are you doing? There's no pews. We the first ones to use chairs. Oh, they say, oh, my God. Pews makes it holy. There's no choir stand. I mean, they're like, there's no altar. There's no, you know, communion table. And they're like, hey, don't you get it? Now, that's law that you're free from. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, keep it clean, it says. You know, some people will clean the building and don't clean their own lives. There are a lot of people in churches today who will sweep the floor, wipe the windows, and then go shack up with someone they're married to. They clean the house that they built, but not the one he built. Rituals. This is why men love rituals. They can hide behind it. So they come to this building and they kneel, you know. And they see. See God, see what I'm doing? See? See that? See my position, my posture. And God is saying, what about your heart? Are you bowed on the inside from that club you've been to last night? Lord. Two types of law. He never set you free from his law. He set you free from the law you forced him to give you temporarily because of your sin. Am I coming clear today? This is very important. Matter of fact, write this down. Ritual laws are temporary. Ritual laws are always temporary. Jesus Christ set us free from ritual law, not from divine laws. You know, one of the laws that God gave, divine law, is found in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not fornicate. Fornication is having sex outside of marriage. Okay. Now, it's amazing, eh? So we say, we're under grace now, not under law. You know what that means now? I could fornicate and still be covered. Are you free from fornicating? Because you are born again? That's why the young people in our churches are messed up. That's why the old people are messed up in the churches. Because this grace thing has messed up the whole church. How many young people listen to me today in this church who keep asking forgiveness over and over again for something they keep doing? Because they won't obey the law of God. And then we want God to give us benefits in this country. Lord, bless me. Pay my tuition. God says, you know something? You're supposed to be in jail. That's what we do with people who break the law. We put them away, don't we, Terry? You know why we put them away? Because they are bad for the whole community. These leaders, people like us, Lord have mercy. You don't want to be one of us. The Bible says those who are leaders will be beaten with more stripes than the people who follow. The pressure is on us because we not only got to teach the law, we got to be the law for the people. That's why I don't understand how people can attend, you know, ministries where they know the pastor doing stuff. And they keep sitting there on the front row every day saying, amen, amen. This guy, a who? You know, someone can say, hey, wait a minute. You know, you are encouraging violation of law. Write this down, please. Creation laws are permanent. Ritual laws are temporary. Do you think that fish can eventually develop to the point where they don't need water? No. Could you imagine a group of saying, I'm tired of water. I'm getting out of this ocean. I've been here for 5,000 years. I'm ready to go now. Creation laws never change. Never change. You don't outgrow not stealing. You know, I stole for 50 years, so I can afford to do it now. See, you don't do that. You the laws, these are divine laws. You know, I killed nobody for 20 years, so now I can kill somebody now. See, you don't do that. That's a divine law. Now, we used to offer lambs for our sins every year, but that was a ritual law because of correction. It's being corrected by the cross. We don't need to do lambs anymore. Oh, but you still got to not commit adultery. Why me, Lord? Write this down, ritual laws. Hebrews chapter 10, write it down in your notes. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 1 says, the law is only what? A shadow of good things that are coming. This word law here is referring to the ritual laws. God gave them the Old Testament. After Adam sinned, God called Noah. Then he called Abraham. Then Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac. Isaac had two sons, one Esau and Jacob. One of them he called Jacob. He changed his name to Israel. He had 12 sons. And God said, out of this 12 tribes, I'm going to create a wonderful nation. And they will become my model nation. And the first thing God gave them was law. I just gave you the whole Bible. He says, I'm going to give them ritual law because I can't live in them yet. So he called from the 12 tribes, one tribe called Levi. Levi had sons, and God said, you will become my priests. The priest is the one who stands between God and the people to be a redemptive channel. He said, now the priest is going to do some rituals because I can't come in y'all right now, but he's going to provide some temporary stuff in the meantime so I can at least come among y'all in the camp. They're going to kill lambs. They're going to kill goats. They're going to kill sheep. They're going to kill rams. They're going to offer incense. They're going to bake some bread. They're going to grind up some wheat. They're going to pour some oil on the bread. They're going to do all this stuff so I can at least come in for a couple minutes and dwell between them cherubims. I need all of that to get there, he says. He said, but that's only a shadow. He called it law, but it was a law of rituals. That's why we don't kill lambs anymore. One of the most important statements ever made by John the Baptist was when he saw his cousin coming in the water. John says, look. Look means behold. He said, behold the Lamb of God. In other words, we had our lambs all these years, bringing our lambs. But God is now bringing his own lamb. He's going to solve the problem. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away what? All the sins of the world. He solved that law problem. The Bible calls it the law of sin and death. That's what he solved. But he never stopped you from keeping God's law. Look at the next part of the verse. Let's read it together. The law is only a shadow, come on, of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. There you go. He said, the reason why they got all this stuff in the Old Testament, all this worship stuff, he said, because they had the real thing. They lost the real thing. Christ bought the real thing back. So the old stuff gone away. God doesn't throw away the Old Testament law. He throws away the Old Testament rituals. The Ten Commandments were not rituals. They are divine law. That's why our country still uses them today. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. All these are still in our culture. Why? They're divine.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Effectively. For copies of this program, the complete teaching series, books, CDs, DVDs, magazines, and other resource materials by Dr. Miles Monroe, or information on seminars, conferences, workshops, and itinerary travels to your area, visit our website at milesmonroeinternational.com or bfmmm.com. Email us at info@mmi.com. And remember, our mission is to help you live effectively.